Backseat Producers, episode 304, Downfall.
Tony.
This is Darren.
This is Jolie.
And this is David.
And we have a special guest, Panda, with us tonight.
Are you going to say his real name on the air?
Panda Binocular, yeah.
Panda the Goofball Dog.
I'm not even going to obfuscate his name.
When he gets older, he's going to regret all the decisions you've made about his social presence without his consent.
Yeah, well, he's just going to have to get over it.
Yes.
What are you doing? So...
Well, Tony, I could be
distracted a little bit. Yeah.
For the people who do...
Tony, you are pet owner culture.
I am.
Yes, for people who are listening, the dog is currently mixing a mean vodka martini.
Actually, it's smelling my foot.
He learned it in prison, so.
No, I think he's licking my foot. I think it's just to get the salt.
Sure yes. Yep.
You're tasting.
If you've got socks on, he'll start nipping at them. So.
Tony, I wear my feet get really cold, so I wear like really thick old man socks constantly.
Yeah. You're gonna have wet. Socks here.
They're water resistant. You got to get moisture.
It's good for you because he's gonna start.
You got to get moisture wicking, Tony. Otherwise,
well, you got a moisture wicker down there too. So,
wait, what?
The four-legged one, anyway.
Oh, this is getting weird.
I thought this was some weird foot dick thing.
Well, this took a turn for the worse.
Yeah, and then it's gonna take a turn right into Berlin.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just all downhill from here.
Yep.
Before we get into that, next week, Drinking Buddies, currently available on Netflix.
Is it?
It is.
At least the last time we looked.
I went to the work.
I watched it today. It is on Netflix.
Son of a bitch. Netflix and your new movies and your...
All right. So this week, Downfall.
My favorite Downfall parody is the Battletech one. Johnny G's Battletech one.
I have not seen it.
It's so good. Also unavailable.
Yeah.
Go figure. All right, Daryl, what'd you think?
Second time I've seen this movie.
You actually saw this movie before?
Yes.
Did you see it because of the parodies?
No.
What is
happening? I saw this movie long before the parodies became the driving force for this
Listen,
movie.
I don't accept that there was a time before the parodies. This movie started as the parodies and then grew into a full movie.
The parodies were a short film. They made this movie out of.
String all the parodies together, yes.
Did you see they interviewed Hitler about the parodies? And he said, thought they were hilarious. It is hilarious.
I've seen one or two of them. I couldn't tell you which ones at this point.
The second time I've now seen this, I still think the movie's great. I mean, if you're looking for a World War II movie that is rather introspective and not full of slam and bang and explosions and heroics and all that. This is closer to a reality.
Was there a scene that did not include explosions? Because there were a lot of explosions.
Well, there's all the scenes of people dying.
Yes.
So but
this is not the heroic, the heroic way of a Saving Private Ryan or Sands of Iwo Jima or similar ilk. This is closer to a grittier reality. But it's also an introspection of a man whom we've made into this huge, huge monster. And
we made him into a monster!
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he made himself into a monster.
Well, the thing is, though, we're looking at a closer to a human being. And all the fascinating thing around him is the interaction of all the people around him. And we'll get into some of that a little later here.
Yeah. Maybe.
What'd you think?
So, my favorite part of this... I really like the movie, but my favorite part of the movie is in the interview process for the secretaries. He just goes down the line, finds the hottest one. He's like, all right, I'm only interviewing one person.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then she's terrible.
Like, I'm happy this has changed in 50 years.
She's terrible, but she's still cute, so we're going to keep her.
Well, that's how I got hired. I don't know about you, chuckleheads. But, yeah. I really like this movie, too. Although, these parodies, I still have not seen one because I've not been able to find one, and I don't know what it is.
I'll find you one right now.
Or what it's about.
All right, so here's what the parodies are about. So that scene where he's at the map,
yeah,
and he's like, all right, well, here, I want you to move this battalion over here and this one over here and this one over here. And then the guy's like, yeah, we can't do that. We don't have any guys. And then, like, he kicks everybody out of the room and then just starts screaming.
Freaks out. Because he had, I know last week you talked about him having an epic freak out. And I feel like 50% of Hitler's screen time was epic freak out.
Yeah, there's one good long one where, like, everyone's standing outside the door and looking at each other and, like, hugging each other. It's that one, and then they change the subtitles to just, like, Hitler.
Hilarious things. Yeah.
Hitler gets banned from Xbox Live, and Hitler watches
upset that Trent Reznor's not touring again.
Hitler's upset.
Hitler comments on My Little Ponies.
Hitler watches Star Trek Into Darkness. Yeah. They're just all fantastic. I'll find you my favorite. Into Darkness one was pretty good.
They run from weird to just totally hilarious.
Sure. All right. I get it.
That was my first introduction to this movie. And I was
this whole scene only occurs, of course, in the first third of the movie. So
yeah.
It is.
It should be mentioned the actress that plays, what is her name? Heidel?
Yeah.
The main character.
The chick.
She was also in Rush, which was great.
Was she?
Yeah.
She looked familiar to me. Are you watching Dracula on NBC? Because Van Helsing was one of the guys who gets killed.
No.
He's the German soldier who goes whoring.
Mm-hmm.
Alexandria Laura.
The one from Rush.
Well, that sounds erotic.
She's, she's good looking.
She was in Rush.
And she speaks German, apparently.
What's that about? Well, she grew up there, although she's originally from Romania.
What's that about? I don't know.
You know, my grandfather was born in Romania. Apropos of nothing.
I heard that about you.
Yeah.
Just now, from you.
Yep, he was actually born in Transylvania.
Really?
Yep.
What's the best joke you've heard somebody say to you about that after you told them that?
I have not heard any jokes about... None, really.
Wow.
And I only know you one.
You missed your opportunity.
The people you know are very lame.
They really are.
Now.
Okay.
All right. Go for it.
No, this was it.
That was it?
Well, I wanted to see what the benchmark was so I could surpass it.
I only know one because he was born in Romania, but he was Hungarian. But the border kept moving, which is why what is now Romania was at one time Hungary. I only know one joke about Hungarians, which is... Hungarians are the only people that will get behind you in a revolving door and end up in front, because apparently we're ruthless, bloodthirsty people.
The only Hungarian joke I know is the cover band, The Well Hungarians.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the best I got.
That's about all I got, too.
So you said the border was moving.
Yes.
Romanian?
No, it was the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Was it Romanian? Roman? Roaming cane? Never mind. Yeah. Damn it.
I see.
Roman hands and Russian fingers.
Yeah. Right. So geographical humor there.
That was a pretty solid pun. Listen.
Yep. I was laughing on the inside.
But later. Tony, what'd you think of the movie?
I liked it. And I thought it served a very similar purpose to what Letters from Iwo Jima did on the Russian side. You get the sense of what was going on, and you get some pretty intimate stories of the actual people stripping away the terrible things they did before that to get to that point, and just starting from there, and then letting you figure out who these people are and what they were going through, knowing how terrible the situation they were in for them. If you're looking at it, it's interesting because it really. To kind of build on something Daryl said, it humanized Hitler in a way that we don't normally see. Most movies do not even try to put a human face on Hitler.
I'm pretty sure it was very human in Last Crusade. That scene with him and Indy was very deep.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Oh, where he signs the book?
He signs
his autograph. Yeah, he takes the book and...
It's been a long time since I've seen Last Crusade. All the way through. Fantastic.
Well, and Inglourious Bastards, you know, he's really... He's something.
He's something.
Yeah.
It just felt like this was the first time... So, in most of the media that I've consumed, that human seemed like a person.
Yeah, except for the porn I've seen with him in it. This is definitely not...
Well...
Are you going to ask about it?
No.
I've seen it.
I know.
I've seen it.
Doubt.
I have seen a porn where a dude uses a picture of Hitler with the mouth cut out as a glory hole and a chick blows him through the picture of Hitler.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
good.
That's special.
That's the top 10 of my life. That's right up there with Big Sausage Pizza.
It's really horrific. What you just said made me a little deader inside.
It's pretty awesome. So, let me get your opinion on something. I feel... So, they do the interview with the real chick before and after.
Uh-huh.
Is it because I'm an old, insensitive asshole? Or did anybody else feel like she was trying real hard to convince you? Yeah, I didn't know any of this stuff was going on. And they told me after the fact. And I wasn't put on trial. And it was fine. Something about the way that they did her interviews, or the way that she talked, or
the way they structure of the subtitles,
just
they,
like, oh, this wasn't me.
The way they portrayed her in the film was that she was super naive, like almost to the point that she might have been a little dumb. Like, she closed her eyes to it. She knew what was going on, but she said she didn't.
Yeah, that's what I get out of that. Yeah. Those beginning and after interviews.
Well, there was a joke I heard Kathleen Madigan tell once about how the thing that the people don't tell you is that if you ask a German person who was alive during World War II, they'll say, yeah, Hitler was a bad guy, but, you know, we kind of liked him at the time. So maybe it was one of those things where she was like, in hindsight, hey, I had a good time at the time and, you know, I'm supposed to feel bad about it. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just projecting.
Projecting right. What?
I'm just assuming that she felt a certain way because, you know, why not?
Well, she's dead.
She's dead. So, yeah.
Well, it's a view of the generations. I mean, anyone who was adult at that time had already gone through the horror of World War I, the post-war depression crash and revitalization. So, unlike, you know, the United States and most of Europe, Germany was kind of one of the first ones to climb out of the whole the 20s and 30s depression. The thing is, the Germans got a double whammy because they went through the massive inflation in the 20s, which just wiped out all of society completely. It was the final blow.
Sure.
And at that point, they were pretty much desperate for anybody to come along. So, I mean, this has been a comparison I've heard many times. If you take Adolf Hitler, Roosevelt and compare them together. They had two wrecked countries. One, you know, going through economic disaster. Mm-hmm. They almost work. Their politics and charisma and everything else were almost exactly the same. They use almost the same media methods to win the elections, to revitalize the nation. The problem is where the difference in the societies took after that. After these men got in power. Roosevelt, you know, put together a New Deal programs where he was pretty much a dictator in that regard there, because he was using a lot of his executive powers to do things he had no real constitutional right to do, as we find out later. Adolf Hitler pretty much did the same thing. He convinced the parliament at that time that, hey, I've got to have dictatorial powers to save the nation from these so-called enemies. And they happily gave it to him after a bunch of staged events to, of course, help that along.
Is it because we're just getting older and more cynical, or does it just seem to anybody else like the first time someone says, I need dictator powers to do X, my immediate reaction is, I bet you don't.
Well,
I don't know why that's not everyone's immediate first reaction.
It's because they want things done fast.
I mean, there were plenty of people who thought that at the time. But a lot of those people ended up dead.
People who are passionate about things make me nervous.
Well, they should.
Yeah, you really shouldn't trust anybody who really wants to be president.
Well, one thing also when we look in this movie is the people in the bunker are all the true believers. They're the ones that they know things are going to go, are going to end badly, but they don't want to believe it themselves. They want him to actually come out, take the lead, and turn this thing around and save them all, even though they know it's impossible.
Well, they spent half a generation in an impossible situation, mm-hmm. and then he pulled them out of it.
Yes.
I mean,
and they expected him again, even though he doesn't even believe it himself that he can do it.
They believe it, though.
That's the main thing, is they're all we got here are the
most
crew.
Of them believe it. There are the few that don't are looked at as traitors.
Well, it's only traitors, but even the generals, even though he abuses the hell out of them, saying they're all traitors, they're all incompetent, he never trusted them, they stay loyal to him nevertheless. Not one of them turns and says, I quit. I resign my commission, you're on your own.
Well, yeah, everybody does get shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone who does
Admittedly, they're all going to shoot themselves later, but that's later.
It's a cult. It's a cult mentality.
It's a cult mentality.
He's got those people following him blindly.
And he's even got the lead, our main character here. She watches him, and she says to Eva Braun at times, he said, I've seen him, be the kind, gentle man, and then suddenly a minute later, he's this raging monster. And he just says such these terrible, brutal things. And she sits there and rationalizes it. Well, he can't show his inner self. He has to maintain this hard outer appearance.
See, and I think the scene that we see at the beginning.
So he's a Milky Way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's more of the Snicker bar because he's a little bit nuts. He's got some nuts in him.
A little bit.
So I think the scene at the beginning where he picks up the secretary kind of serves to show why some of these people followed him,
mm-hmm.
because he showed this person who by all rights was worthless to him.
Well, let's just
say he showed faith in her.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that,
he'll get better.
He gained a follower that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because essentially he this is the way, I guess, charisma works.
Mm-hmm.
If you just show a little bit of kindness to somebody that has never had it before, they just suddenly, instantly, in your grasp.
Well, that's a bit of a... Where are we getting that she's never had it before?
I don't think
that's
seemed
like
true.
She came from a good home where her family was like, hey, this guy's crazy. Don't go over there. That seemed like pretty sound advice.
Yeah, but I think she... there was a one point she said, well, it seemed like she didn't have much in the way of options. So, in that case, a job's a job.
Well, it's a job at the top. I mean, you're the secretary to the most powerful man in the country, if not the world, because he gets hired in 1942. This one, things were still going pretty well for Germany at the time. They pretty much conquered half of Europe already.
Whoa! At the beginning of this movie, when she comes in for the interview, they are close to Berlin.
No, and she's met at the Wolf's Lair. No, she was hired in 1942.
Yeah,
they're not.
And all this stuff. They're still in
1945. Yeah, I mean, in 1942, Germany was still in a pretty strong position.
Because she actually was mostly competent in the end when she was taking notes.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
She seemed a lot more competent than she was at the beginning. So there was at least a little bit of time that she took to learn shorthand.
If Luke can write, anyone can write.
Well.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I've been a secretary before. It's not that hard.
Especially when you're working at it every day.
Yeah, exactly. And, the thing that I have learned is that if you're cute, you don't have to be that good, really. So, it's fine. She's fine. I believe it.
Well, suppose like she's good enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's
and she's
enough.
Not the only one in that group, either.
Right. There's a secretarial pool
mm-hmm.
that she's just part of.
Hmm. But the interesting thing is we watch all the interactions going on between the minor players and the major players, and the side stories that are going, the couple of side stories that are going around, like the side story of Peter. He's another true believer. His father is trying to knock some rationality in his head because he's already lost an arm in this conflict or in the previous one. And he tells him, he says, "You don't know what war is all about."
Oh, you're talking about the kid?
Yeah, that's Peter.
Yeah, I was a little confused as to why that became a B story.
Well, again, they're trying to point out here.
No, I get what they're doing. I mean, I get that it was trying to sort of build.
Yeah, they're trying to Spielberg
some sort of really. Well, it's.
They're not trying Spielberg.
I don't even think it's Spielberg.
I think they were just trying to German it up by making it super depressing and metaphorical.
It's not super depressing.
Little blonde kid.
Yeah, like think about the awful metaphors that are going on here about how, you know, this kid's going to learn a lesson and it's not going to be good. I mean, I can't say I've seen a ton of German movies, but the ones that I have seen are all.
The
like,
language is so abrasive. I can't imagine any media they produce otherwise is ever anything nice. Like, even those kids are singing that, like, the song. It's like, this is an offensive, creepy song that could be in a horror movie because the language is so rough and abrasive.
Mm-hmm. And also, they have no sense of humor. Germans are pretty humorless. So.
It's because you have to pay attention to every sentence in complete detail before you ever get to the verb.
Yeah. So how
the
do
verb
you
is the last word
language?
In the sentence.
And why did Gables look like a bug man?
I did.
Something was going on.
Yeah, he really
like a bug man.
He looked like a bug. There was something. Really there was a look about him, and I didn't know what was going on with
him. Yeah.
But I didn't like it.
Yeah, this movie was depressing.
I came home.
It was.
Yep.
Melinda's like, what is this movie about? You are going to hate this. It is subtitled, It's Going to Be Sad, and it's about a war.
Did she watch it?
Yeah, she watched it.
What did she...
She was actually more engrossed in this movie than I thought she
How
was
did she
be.
React to Blondie? What happened to Blondie?
Oh, she was pissed. She knew it was coming, too.
Yeah.
She's like, they better not show the damn dog. Well, I got bad
They're going news. To.
At least I didn't show the puppies.
Yeah.
By the
why
way,
did the dog have to die?
I don't know why.
I don't understand why the dog had to die.
They shot the puppies. What's going on?
Yeah, but why, you know.
So
he knew he was going to kill himself. He wanted the dog to be there for him on the other side. He was fully convinced that he was going to heaven. He was raised in a Christian background, and he was convinced that there was an afterlife.
There's
for him.
Some
Otherwise,
kind of moral relativism that... Like at some point, you should be like, all right, this is too much.
Rationalization. This movie works on a whole bunch of different levels. You do have to pay attention to what's going on in it. And there's a whole bunch of side stories going on everywhere.
Yeah.
Some of them come together at the end, and a few don't.
I didn't really feel like I needed to pay that close of attention. I didn't remember the names of most of the characters because there were a billion of them.
Yep.
And there was really no need to remember them all.
And between
it was General A, General B, General C, General D,
and
E,
I think
F,
it was
G, H, I, J,
Lord
K.
Von.
My God, there were so many generals.
Well, yeah, because every one of them is all there at headquarters.
Well, and see, what killed me is for as many of them.
Yeah, why are they on the field?
Yeah, for as many of them that were dead in the end of the movie, when they start going through that scroll at the end when they're telling... Who ended up where? And I'm
what
like,
happened?
Jesus, how many of them actually survived this? Because there were so many of them that died.
Well, not considerably, considering most of these men were in their 50s and 60s at the time, and probably not in very good health due to all the stresses and whatnot of war. They all smoke like chimneys and drink like fish.
Yeah, well, maybe you don't start a world war. I mean,
sympathy, yeah, how about,
I only have so much sympathy.
How about
for
let's
people.
Not invade Poland? How about we start there?
Yeah. So, did anybody else notice that Ava Braun was batshit crazy this entire goddamn movie?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she was.
Hey, they stopped shelling for 5 minutes. Let's go for a walk in that area where they were just shelling. What? Why are we doing this? At that one scene where the guy's telling Hitler how to kill himself, I kind of feel like there was an aside. It's like, hey, man, Ava Braun's fucking crazy. You need to get a handle on that. Like, you know, this whole thing's crashing down. But I'm concerned about this bitch that's in here with us because she is batshit crazy.
Well, who would... You would have to be insane to want to be around that.
She was the Baroness to Hitler's Cobra Commander.
Well, also, again, you know, people are attracted to power. I mean, you're...
Yeah, she was totally a star fucker.
Yeah.
Madeline Albright.
She was an actress.
Angela Merkel. Yeah.
My buddy said the same thing about Condi.
Condi Rice,
the
really?
Tooth gap. Carmen, what are you doing? Stop it.
It's the ultimate aphrodisiac.
She did something else that was just absolutely crazy that I cannot for the life of me.
Are you talking about Eva Braun?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the dancing part or?
The dancing was weird, but yeah. You know, whatever. She did something else that I told Melina, I'm like, man.
Seems like they didn't let her out much.
Someone needs to calm this chick down.
Yeah.
Something bad's going to happen here.
She probably didn't get out much in the whole time.
Like, 6 million Jews being killed. Yeah. Berlin is being invaded by the Russians right now.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like this Eva Braun situation is top priority for the moment.
Hey, you feel like if somebody could have got a bug in her ear, that she would have got him out of town. The thing is
many
going down,
tried.
Yeah, going down the way it did, it actually ended the war quicker. Because if he would have got out, he would have kept going for a couple more weeks at least.
A couple more weeks, probably a couple more years.
There was
ending.
They would have spent an enormous amount of time chasing down the Bavarian redoubts.
They would have taken time to chase him down, but there was no the infrastructure of the military was collapsing quickly at this point.
But you would have
there was not going to be a war anymore.
No, it would have just turned into a long-term insurrection.
I don't even think that. I think they would have just came in and they would have just gave up.
If they found him in a foxhole like Saddam style, because I mean, presumably, if he had left, he would have had to have just ended up in a hole somewhere.
Well, that's what he even said.
Nowhere else for him to go.
That's what he said. I'm going to have to live out in the open or in farmhouses or in fields because.
Well, that's where they found Gaddafi. That's where they found Saddam. So that's where he would have ended up. And you know, you're not going to be able to command much from a hole.
No. No, Himmler would have taken over.
Yeah.
And it would have lasted a couple more weeks. But their troops were losing troops left and right. They would have lost Berlin at that point.
Right.
It wouldn't have taken long. But it would have been more fighting, more casualties. More bloodletting. Yeah. Kind of feel like the way it happened.
Dropped a bomb. That would have solved it. Doesn't take many of those.
I don't think we would have done that in Central Europe.
No, we wouldn't.
We didn't have any.
Yeah, I realize it's earlier, but
that's horrible. Though, I'm just gonna throw it out there. Nuclear war is bad.
It does ruin your day.
It hasn't ruined my day yet. I feel like it could, but that's lower on my list of priorities or concerns right now. The drive home is more concerning to me than a nuclear war.
Bigger danger. Yeah, going through I-64 across the bridge.
It's not as cold as it was before, though. There's that.
Man, F Atlanta.
I don't even know what's going on, man. I don't even
there
care.
There are people like, well, you know, Atlanta's not prepared for the ice and snow because they never get it. Yeah, here's the thing. If you can't safely drive, don't drive.
Yeah.
This is not a snow preparedness scenario. This is a common, if you get into your vehicle and you may kill someone with your vehicle, don't operate your vehicle. Are you drunk? Don't operate your vehicle. Is it icy and you don't know how to drive in it? Don't operate your vehicle. Don't get on a highway with a million other people and then get in this big pileup. Don't do that.
Because a lot of people can't go somewhere. Say no. They got to prove, oh, I'm macho. I got to get out there. I got to get to my job.
Especially when we got our four-wheel drive vehicles.
I'm that guy, and I got an SUV and I drive it really fast in the snow. Because I feel like I can safely do that. And it's not worked out poorly for me yet.
Yet.
I drive as fast as I'm safely able to drive, Tony.
So do I.
Which is fast.
But some people don't have the luxury of, you know, not getting to... Well, some people just have to go to work.
Well, if you live in Central Georgia, the chances of you getting enough practice in the snow and ice is practically nil.
Yeah. Well,
which I understand, but those people didn't make it to work anyway. And now they have a wrecked car.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah. Or they're stuck in the middle of nowhere.
Their risk assessment
sleeping in the open
incorrect.
Or in a farmhouse.
Yeah, but, I mean...
That's what sick days are for.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you have the luxury of sick
If you have
time,
the luxury, sure.
Some people don't get sick time.
Yeah, you know what? Those people aren't going to get sick time when their car is in a ditch for 3 days.
You know,
the hospital.
If you work at Walmart, there's no sick time at Walmart, so...
Yeah, but you're also not going to get to work if you're not going to get to work. I had to fire somebody because they were in a car accident one day. And it was like, why are you going to fire me for being in a car accident? I'm not firing you for being in a car accident. I'm firing you for the 10 other times in the last 6 months that you had to call in sick. which was clearly against company policy, and you were given written notices for.
I don't like the storytelling.
Yeah, it goes to
it
dark,
sucks.
Dark places.
But if I wouldn't have done that, I would have been fired. Yeah. So that's the way it is.
Oh, I see how it is.
Is that the tie back to Downfall?
Yeah.
I don't think that defense would fly at the trials, Tony.
Did Hitler get sick time? Did he get family medical leave act?
I don't think that excuse would have flown at the trials, Tony.
If he would have gotten a final warning. Written.
What?
Final written
warning.
Final warning.
From the Russians? Hey, we're almost
from
there.
Himmler. You got it from Himmler. Fuck you.
He got a lot of warnings.
He did get a lot of warnings.
Hey, we should leave. No. No, we should leave. No.
So clearly it was his fault.
Hey. Hey, you know what? He took care of the problem.
He did.
There was a...
He quit before he was fired.
There was a lot of suicides.
There were so many suicides.
There was a lot of suicides, and there was a lot of awkward justification of, well, suicide's not surrendering. I sort of feel like maybe
that's a German thing.
I kind of feel like it's the same.
More of a warrior ethos.
It's sort of like a stoicism.
That's a weird mentality.
Well, the mentality is that they don't want to be judged by someone they consider inferior for the actions they took in a time of war.
Well, if they were...
And that's their justification for it.
If they were superior, maybe they wouldn't have lost the war.
Yeah.
Maybe if you don't want to be dragged in front of a war crimes tribunal, you don't commit war crimes.
Let's start by not invading Poland. Let's start there. I will say that my grandmother, who's still alive, has always hated Russians. And
that's acceptable.
Well, I mean, among others, she's way into hate, you know, because that's just what they did in the old country. But she hates...
She throws things at Yakov, is what I'm hearing.
Well, she probably would if she could. But one of the things that I think is kind of interesting is the stories that she would tell about Russian soldiers, because apparently those Russian soldiers were assholes. Nobody liked them.
Yeah, I can imagine being a Russian soldier would be pretty pissed. Hey, I had to walk through the snow for really no reason to get here.
Yeah. And the other thing was is they were not given any food. So in order to eat, they pretty much had to steal or
continue to advance.
Yeah. So it was like if you were in Russian-occupied territory, as they were for a while, you either had to make deals or, you know, find ways to trade something. So you didn't end up getting pillaged or raped or whatever.
Melina's mother was born in Nazi-occupied Greece.
Nice.
And she said that the Nazi soldiers that occupied Greece were very kind to her.
Yeah.
I was like,
well,
I would not tell that story to people. That's a weird story. Don't say that.
Well, I mean...
She's like, I used to belly dance for them, and they wrapped a swastika flag around my... What is happening? She's like, well, I was three. I'm like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was a political thing.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You make terrible deals.
This is the worst austerity measure yet.
That brings up another question here. Hitler is probably the most best documented World War II political leader. Almost nobody else is. I mean, you see very few documentaries on Stalin. We've almost never seen one on Hirohito or his prime minister, Hideki Tojo. We've never seen anything about Franco of Spain. But
marketing.
I know.
Hitler had a marketing department.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. He is the most fascinating of the 20th century World War II leaders.
Yeah.
But
he put himself out front. He put himself out front for better or worse. Mm-hmm. That was his gig. It was getting his name out there and making sure everybody knew that he had King Balls, and that was it.
Yeah, but the thing is, why is the loser? Why is the loser of the conflict get the most PR?
Because it's a reality TV.
Well,
because...
A, because there's footage.
Yeah.
And B, because what he did was terrible. And C, because like we can talk about how many people Stalin didn't do was terrible. Yeah, no. What Stalin did was terrible. But the thing is he didn't have He didn't have cameras around him so much. So, you know, access is limited. So you're most interested in what you can gain access to. And the thing you can gain access to is Nazi Germany was well documented.
Well,
so,
yes.
You know, you can actually kind of see it and it's more visceral.
Right. Well, but the thing is, though, movie makers can use things called imagination and historical research to produce
an equally probably good drama about some other aspect
of it. Here's the thing that gets me. But you know what? Terrible people are always compelling.
Yes.
And when you have somebody who picks a group of people who have throughout history been persecuted and wear that on their sleeve like a badge of honor, and then you pick them and murder 6 million people from that group to just piss them off even more, you've just created yourself as the devil. And you know that that's the reason Hitler is as compelling as he is to everyone.
We find it hard to believe that a person like that could actually get into power, do all this damage, and pretty much almost escape unscathed.
No, the thing about it that is the compelling portion for me is, what is it about this dude that people are crazy, people are not good people. That I understand, that is not interesting to me. What's interesting to me is that this guy can convince other people to do crazy shit like this.
Yes. What is it about the charisma that lures in an entire nation?
I'm not interested in it. I just want to know what it is so I can defend myself against whatever.
Or bottle it yourself.
No, I don't want to bottle it.
I mean, a big part of the problem was just the fact the situation the country was in. I mean, they were in a terrible, terrible situation. He made promises to them that he was going to get them out of that terrible, terrible situation. And then he did it. He did it through terrible means. He started a war. And
nothing like a good war for the economy.
War is always good for economy. And when your economy is the worst economy, like, in modern civilization, then you're doing nothing but getting people to side with you. It's like, hey, you know, I can put food on my table now without carrying around wheelbarrows full of money. I've got a job. I can do something meaningful and gainful. Yeah, our Jewish neighbors now all of a sudden aren't there anymore. That's terrible for them, but my kids are eating. It's terrible. It's terrible justification, but people were willing to make those justifications. And because of that, you had somebody like him rise to power and have a loyal following.
And it's not like this stuff isn't still happening. I mean, all you have to do is just ask anybody from the Bosnian community, hey, how do you feel about Slobodan Milosevic? It's not like that's a lesson we learned, so we don't have to learn it anymore because we're good on that one. Because that is clearly not the case.
I mean, that's why terrorist groups are able to get followers. They find people that think they have nothing left to lose. Mm-hmm. And then offer a promise to them, something
they want to be part of something bigger than themselves.
Sure.
That's how we got Eric into the band.
Yeah.
He had nothing left to lose.
Hey, buy a keyboard. Wait.
I'm not doing anything.
He's part of the band now.
That's how we got Paul out of the band. Bought him some harmonicas.
True fact. Hey, you have no more excuses. I'm sick.
Yeah, I can't. I'm sick for every month. Yeah, every practice now.
A turd.
Well, that was some logical leap you just made.
I'm looking at a picture of my cat.
So yeah, I think the fact that Hitler is the one that we point to most often and look at most often is, one, he was the bad guy. He put himself out front of that of Germany. Because he had people that believed in him and followed him. So by doing that, he created a persona that was larger than life. And
he had branding, man.
He did. And man, that mustache, it was iconic.
It's yeah.
Nobody can wear that mustache anymore.
That
period.
Yes, he owns it.
That's a damn shame because I like that style of mustache too.
Chaplin wore it well.
You could try and you could probably get some Brooklyn hipsters to try and bring it back, but nobody's ever really gonna be able to bring it back.
I feel like
for another century or two.
I feel like I have just enough of that spark to convince people.
Hey,
that it's okay. We're taking it back.
I don't normally give you advice. Don't do that.
Yeah, I would.
Like, meaningful advice. I give you bullshit
first
advice
off,
all the
it's
time.
Probably fine in St. Louis. St. Louis is a very Catholic city. It's probably fine. If high school is any indication, I would end up getting a lot of supporters.
Probably.
Ow.
I think as far as films go, it's a good movie. It tells an interesting story about a period that gets mentioned regularly in documentaries, but this kind of really delved into the details of it. But all things considered, I would rather watch Letters from Iwo Jima again than watch this one.
I've never seen that, but I probably will not want to watch it. I dislike war movies.
Well, this one isn't really so much that.
Why not?
I mean, I should say Letters from Iwo Jima is not so much about World War II itself. It's about the individuals in it. I mean, we hardly ever see the other side of the story. And Flags of Our Fathers and Letters from Iwo Jima, when watched dovetail together, gives a better picture of what it was like for the individual, not the big picture.
It's seldom we see in the United States a war movie that focuses on the enemy in such a way that those two movies did. Because this movie had absolutely nothing to do with the Allied forces. Nothing. We see the Russians as invaders. We see the Russians at the table when they're going to sign the peace treaty. That's it. There was nothing from this movie that showed a story from the side of the Allied forces.
Yeah.
And that's unusual. That's unusual for us to see. Granted, this was not an American movie either. Letters from Iwo Jima was. And I think it treated the material as respectfully as this did. As weird as it is to say, it treated Hitler respectfully. Huh. I never felt like I was cheated. And I never felt like anyone in this movie was demonized unjustly. you know what I mean? Because it's like, these people were assholes, yes. But they never went so far as to put the shadow of devil horns behind Hitler. Something stupid and symbolic like
I think
that.
I think there's a certain point at which you can just sort of assume, like, you can assume evil just because any audience that sees this movie is going to know ahead of time, these people are usually assholes, so.
Right, but it didn't, it also showed them being human, assholes. Being fearful, being prideful.
Being stupid.
Drinking
too.
And whoring in the middle of the downfall.
Well, that was kind of one of the weird things is it just toward the end, everything's just falling apart. But nobody seems to be too terribly concerned about it that most of the bunker staff is completely drunk 90% of the time.
Yeah, you know
except
what?
For the few people.
You're in a bunker and the Russians are hundreds of yards away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are you going to do? You know, one of two things is going to happen. Somebody's going to come in and rescue us. So we're already midway through celebrating, mm-hmm. or we're dead. And I would rather be drunk than facing my imminent demise. So that's
either way, it's best solved by as much copious liquor. Well, question is, where did they get all that champagne?
Yeah, they're in the middle of Berlin.
Bunker.
I don't know if you've heard this statistic about how much. What is the one of the brands of cognac? One of the largest single purchasers of cognac in the world is North Korea, because apparently that's what they spend a lot of their money on is for, for the dictator and his cronies. They'll get all the fancy stuff, namely things like cognac. And the
better meth.
You know, so that's probably, you know, so he's probably well stocked with booze and whatnot.
And everything else.
Sure.
Yeah, listen, when you take away my drink and my horn and... There's not much left of life anyway. So
that's when the suicides happened. That's when they ran out of booze. The chicks left and they ran out of booze.
Yeah.
Time to pull out the guns.
The chick population was dangerously low, so we had to improve the ratio.
And really, when one of them is Eva Braun, you know.
That chick will bite your dick off. Yeah. You don't want any part of that.
Don't fuck
if there's
crazy.
A lesson, don't stick your dick in crazy.
Very.
One.
Well.
Unless you are crazy.
It's tempting.
We're talking to Eva Braun crazy or little less.
Never sleep with anyone crazy in yourself either.
No, that's the wrong mentality. Just don't give them your name.
Give them Eric's name.
My name is Eric.
The key is not forming a lasting commitment or relationship with the crazy. If it's not crazy,
you just ride for the good times and then bail when it goes off.
If the crazy is crazy enough,
they'll
find you. That's what makes it scary.
Or you'll never leave them.
Yeah, you gotta have your crazy gloves on. Crazy's gotta be handled.
Those long tongs.
Melina's crazy. She's just not crazier than I am. She doesn't know she's not crazier than I am. That's the key. I've convinced her that she's crazier than I am, but she doesn't know.
It's the other way around.
And every once in a while, I slip up. Like, I slip up and I say something, and she's like, That's out there. I don't know where that came from. She told me that the other day. She's like, you think about that a lot? Yeah, constantly. And we were having a conversation about suicide. Like, we have a conversation.
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
Well, we were having a conversation about suicide. I'm like, I think about suicide every day. I think about all the ways I think I could die, all the ways I think I could kill myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I run through the scenario pretty much every day. Like, I've got everything planned. Like, if I was going to do something, I got plenty of plans. It's like, every day? I'm like, oh, yeah, every day I think about this. At least once a day. Like, I run through these plans and scenarios. You should talk to somebody about that. No, I was just joking. That doesn't happen. How do you not? And I plan through the scenario. Everybody I know, at least once a day, everybody I know, like okay.
Like, Tony, are you going to take him down?
No. Tony dies tomorrow. What happens to me? Like, what do I do next?
Oh, yeah. I used to do that.
I do that every day.
See, I had it all worked out now, so.
I see.
I've been around longer, so I've got it all worked out.
I sometimes think about people who
compartmentalize your emotions and sure.
I like to think about people like who I could take down in a fight. So usually if I'm having crazy thoughts, it's like I could take that person in a fight, or I probably couldn't take that person in a fight.
She's already worked out how she's going to kill all of us.
Listen, most people who meet me run through that pretty quick.
So. No, I think it's safe to say that, you know, I did that for a long time. Just compartmentalizing emotions, thinking about, you know, especially older family members. It's like you're starting to get to the point where your grandparents are getting up there in years. And I'm to the point where I only have one now. So, like, I've worked through all that. I had it all worked through, and then when they died, it was like, yeah, I was ready for that because they were old and they were sick and now they're gone, and that sucks.
Yeah. She was like, what's going to happen to Romeo if I die? And I'm like, I've already got extensive plans. No, you don't. All right, well, here's the first couple of things I'm going to do. Financially, I'm going to have to sell the house. I'm going to have to move into something smaller. Depends on what your life insurance pays out. And then I'm going to have to do some juggling with the bills to see how I can make that work. But I'm probably going to have to hire somebody because I'm realistically not going to do all that work. I got it all worked out. Don't worry about it. I don't know what you're going to do if I die. You'll probably go quickly after. So.
We'll all fall on our swords.
Oh, suicide pact.
A world without David is a world without purpose.
You know, I've thought if something happens to you, probably going to have to help Elena. Like, make arrangements. Because I have a feeling that she's going to be about as useful as Julie would be if something happened to me.
Nah, she'll surprise you.
You think so?
Yeah. She can be real heartless when she wants to be.
See, Julie says that she would just, like, completely lose it. She'd be all right.
I've seen it.
A day or so. Be.
I've seen Melina go through the loss before, and that is a cold-hearted bitch. I appreciate her stoicism.
People surprise you when it comes to loss like that. People
surprise you just in general. It's got weird and dark.
This movie makes you go there, though.
Yeah.
It gets like, so sad.
It doesn't make there. You go there because it's cold.
And I think that was the interesting thing is that I felt really sad at the end of this movie. Mm-hmm. When it's like you felt like that you were, when you start watching this movie, you know that you're in for watching the end of Hitler's reign. And you're like, fucking take that dude down. And then by the time you're done watching, it's like, so man, I'm just like really depressed.
Do you feel that that's more dehumanizing because you just pity him at the end than the demonization where you're like, this guy was a monster, he got what he deserved?
I think what I was most depressed about was the fact that...
Depressed?
Not depressed, just...
You want a bug man to live?
I wanted them to be smarter than that. They built this empire, and then they basically just said, yeah, fuck it.
Well,
it just seemed like they were going out like bitches.
To be fair,
well, they the made red some tide bad...
was at the door.
Yeah, I'm not and talking they also like a made bad very
menstrual sink up.
Right,
very bad military decisions as well. So it's not like they weren't the instruments of their own downfall in that particular way. But
I felt bad for Hitler at the end because like all those people were like they believed in him, but they were like they were all clearly not informing him of the situation.
I didn't feel bad for them. I didn't feel bad for Hitler. I felt bad for them because, all right, this dude who convinced us we're going to have a better life just killed himself.
I'm talking before that. Before that. When they're like, when he's like, all right, we need to tell this guy to go here and that guy to go there. And he's like, go call him. And then you'd see the generals look at each other like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, you just got the feeling like they weren't telling us, but that guy's like dead and his army is gone. Yeah. It's like, oh, that the ninth army, get that guy. And it's like, The way they looked at each other, they're like,
he couldn't raise enough men because they died 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never felt bad about all the people. I mean, I only felt bad that I had to watch dying, and that never bothers me. The one thing that did bother me was when she killed her children.
That bothered me, but it was mostly because they trained those children to be that way.
Yeah, that was so.
Because the older kids all knew it was a
two-step process. If she's gonna poison him, why poison him twice?
Well,
she didn't poison him; she knocked him out.
Yeah, I know. Why not just poison him?
Well, because she was presumably giving them cyanide, and cyanide, as I understand, although I don't have personal experience, but as I understand, it's a really horrific way to go.
Listen, we all saw.
You can't have children. Shit. Willingly taking cyanide because they're not gonna want to do it, so you have to knock them out.
I think by the time you take it, it's too late not to take it.
Yeah, but well, yes, except that it your first experience paralysis, and then apparently again, not like I've read this on the internet.
Vomiting, stroke.
We've all seen Skyfall.
Horrible,
there it is.
Horrible pain.
Booyah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just like
Skyfall. She was doing it because it was easier for her.
Yeah.
That's why she was
I mean, the
crazy.
Other thing she could have done.
She was seriously crazy.
If she really hated her children, she could have had somebody hold them all down and then given them cyanide so they all died in terror.
Did you notice that she looked like every single GOP female candidate and wife? Like a string of pearls, red jacket. It was just uncanny.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, it was just that part was a bummer because it's like the little one had no clue what was going on.
Yep.
But the older ones clearly knew exactly what was happening. And it's like, you'll do it. You're the brave one. And it's the little one. It's like, oh, come on. The older ones are like, you fuck itch. You're fucking killing us.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I like that you got the Mother of the Year award from Hitler, though.
Yes.
That's a good thing to hang your hat on, hang up your pearl necklace on.
That is quite a face. It was a movie.
Do you feel like that bag says ho or a?
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like it says hooray. I feel like it says ho or a.
Yeah.
If it only be improved if that was an interrobang instead of a...
That would be better.
Exclamation mark.
Hooray.
Hooray.
Well, considering that's the bag that they gave us all the stuff in when I went to pick up the dog from the shelter.
They put it in a hooray bag?
Yeah, having the interrobang on there would have actually been better at that point. It's like,
you know what else I don't like about it? There's two of every color except for green. What?
It's clearly their races against the Irish. That's what I see.
Which would be fine, but then if they put the colors,
it's America over Ireland. It's red, white, and blue.
Yeah, over
green, Ireland,
white and red.
Are you sure? It's got to be sports teams, though. I mean, obviously.
I only see one green on there, though. I got nothing.
See what this movie has done to us. Terrible thing.
Drinking Buddies next week.
Oh, man, Tony, I hope this movie gets weird.
It does.
Weird.
It gets weird. There's
weird being.
And that fucking beard that he has is ridiculous.
Stop it, Tony. Don't ruin it for me.
It's got...
Tony, I might go back to the mustache.
Jake, what's his name? Jake, the one that's on The New Girl.
Tony, you can't call him The New Girl. It's just New Girl.
New Girl. Whatever.
Tony, let's not fuck around. Come on.
The show with Schmidt in it. Which is really the only reason I watch that show anymore.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's making you watch televisions, too.
I do. I choose to watch it because Schmidt's still in it. If he wasn't in it, I wouldn't watch it.
As someone who watches a ton of TV I don't like, I still watch TV I don't like.
Why do you do that? You could be doing other things.
I do it while I work.
Well, because I sort of feel like there was a time in my life when I was watching considerably more television. I watch almost no television now, and it's pretty groovy. I like it. It makes me sound like a hipster.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Oh, yep.
God damn it.
Now that the thing is we are in the golden age of television more than ever.
Oh, not now, no.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the shows I like to end it.
Well, because that's
I'm not talking this week. I'm saying within the last
five years, maybe.
Have been the best television we've had.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ever. But right now, we're in a lull. Like, there's very few things on that I consider watchable at this point.
I don't know. I guess it's because a lot of the stuff I'm watching right now is stuff that other people have watched before and I'm just now getting caught up to. Luther and Sherlock and some of that stuff.
I was not impressed by the season 3 opener of Sherlock.
I haven't seen it yet, so that.
Just saying.
I started watching Pram Face. I'm not sure.
I don't know what that means, but
it's kind of clever. It's okay. I think there was a show on broadcast TV this past year that had like 3 episodes, and I think it might be based on that. There was a show about 2 teenagers that got knocked up and their families had to get along with each other.
Yes, because it had Kurt's dad from Glee. Yes. And
yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
The Hispanic guy from Desperate Housewives.
Yep. But this is the BBC version of it, and it's the boy is 16 years. They're doing it more based on the fact that she's 18 and about to go to college, and he's 16. So, like, in the second episode, she's like, oh, my God, I'm a pregnant mist.
Hmm.
But it's all played for jokes.
I didn't think they had the statutory laws there that we do have here.
I don't know.
16.
Because he said, but I'm 16, so you're not a rapist. So maybe 16 is the age.
Well, I don't think
consent.
The rape is age dependent. That seems like a consent dependency. The statutory part is the age.
Yeah, but it's still considered rape.
So when was the last time you Googled statutory rape laws in the UK?
I don't think that I've done that for the UK.
So, you know.
Just because I've not gone there.
I'm just saying that the rape part is the non-consent. The statutory part is the age portion. And the age portion determines that you're not old enough to give consent, sure.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, the rape part is not the age business, Tony. With Eric around, this becomes a... We have to be clear on our definitions with Eric.
I'm only quoting the television show.
I'm just saying that I find the dialogue inaccurate.
Well, she was a hormonal 18-year-old who was pregnant, so she might have been confused.
At one time in my life, I was most of those things.
You just weren't confused.
I just was not confused. Damn, Tony, I had something else, too. Wait, you think the golden age... Well, all right, so television has been better, but right now it's not... It's bad times right now.
Yeah, but just consider the past.
In general terms, this is the best time of television we've had.
You're not going to get a disagreement from me, but right now I'm just disappointed with what I've got on the offering list.
Have you watched Chosen?
No.
You should watch Chosen.
I'll watch Chosen. I don't know. I had to stop watching...
Archer.
Archer. It was too much. Archer insisted upon itself, Tony.
Archer fell into mediocrity and wallows in it.
Did you hear what they did with the season?
I'm watching it.
Oh, well, then maybe you did. I haven't watched any of it, so just hearsay.
Pam eating bags of cocaine is hilarious. But, yeah.
Huh. Tony, I watched...
Chosen is as insistent as the first season of Archer was, but it's all gay rapper jokes, and it's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw the commercial where he was doing the gay rap about sex and murder.
Sex
broke
and
that
murder bear's
neck. When it's like, I have to watch
this.
Did
people have sex and then they murder?
I have to watch this
every
show.
Every episode has a rap that has something to do with him banging dudes. So they haven't gone into the backstory yet, but you see, like the pilot, you see him getting busted and going to prison, and he is straight. And then when he comes out of prison, he's gay. No explanation of the points in between.
I don't think you need to. You know, it's better if you don't.
The best line from the episode I just watched. Yeah, I'm coming after you. Yeah, well, I'm gonna be two steps ahead of you. I'm always one step ahead of you. Yeah, I always liked when dudes in prison wouldn't step out of me. It's good.
I feel like I'm back in high school.
Yeah.
Let's walk down this narrow hallway. You go first. What's happening here?
Did that happen to you in high school? Clearly I went to the wrong high school.
That was a little out of context. We were actually going to, not Kenrick, the other theater. The one on Clayton.
The Esquire?
Maybe it was the Esquire.
Yeah.
Like, but there's like that shady alley that runs, like you park in the back and it faces the street, so you have to walk down like that shade. Like you can
there's
walk around it.
There's a shady alley right there.
Or there's,
yeah,
you can walk through that shady alley next to it. That was actually the context.
Gotcha.
Actually, all the black men in my class were gay. So it was a very...
Wow. That's an interesting sampling.
Out of 350, all 8 black guys were gay. So it was like double minority. Just get it all off the table in one swoop.
But I don't know that she knows that you went to an all-boys high school.
I went to an all-male high school.
All-male high school.
There were very few gay white guys in my class.
Well, just a representative sample of how many gay people there are. You know, it's not that many of them.
And when I went to high school, if we had anyone who was gay, they weren't open about it. Not at all.
We had... They weren't.
There were a few that was... There were a few that it's like... Pretty sure that guy was, but
we had a lesbian couple. They were very clearly a couple because they made out in the hallway a lot.
Yeah,
and nobody
that wouldn't have flown.
They were actually very, very nice. I was friends with both of them, and everybody's like, eh, whatever. This is Columbia. What we do?
Yeah, no one really cares when lesbian chicks make out in the hall.
Clearly not.
See,
in the
late 80s, it wasn't a thing. It just wasn't. I mean, no one was open about it. It was when
I've seen House of Boys, tell me.
Yeah, it was when we went to college, and it was like, oh.
It was when Reagan got out of office.
Yeah.
I can't let this Reagan
thing
go.
It was when you get to college, and it was like all these people who were like the oddball one-off people from their little.
So everybody's gay is an oddball, Tony. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
It's
a little judgmental, don't you think?
It's that there were a lot of people who knew that they were different and lived that up as like it was their thing, like their identity was that they were different. So that when they all went to college, like there was a whole group of people that now were your unique identifier.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All of a sudden you're not unique and you're not special.
Tony, we all grew up.
Yeah. That's about what happened.
You know how I feel about gay people, Tony?
They're people.
I don't understand how a dude could ever want or be interested in a penis. But then again, I can't explain my own inexplicable desire for vagina. So, they're kind of gross, but spent a lot of my time trying to get into them. So, I just figured
Andrew Dice Clay.
Everyone else is doing the same thing.
Andrew Dice Clay has a joke about he doesn't understand bisexuality. It's like, I get gay dudes.
No, I get that.
And I get, it's like,
I get
but,
that.
But when you
I
wake up that. In the morning, you have a choice. Is it hair pie or balls across the nose?
How about we not decide?
Let the chips
fall where they may.
That was his misunderstanding.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas I had a good friend and
how about the idea that if you're fucking, you're fucking.
Well, I had a buddy that I worked fast food with, and he said he was gay, but he was asexual. I think he was just scared of sex in general. But he claimed that he was bi so that he could get more dates, but he never dated anyone.
Hey, man, listen, if you enjoy both half of the buffet, why limit yourself to the vegetarian or the meat option?
That's true.
The penis is the meat option.
I gathered.
Because of its sausage.
So how does vagina be an option?
Vegetarian. Yeah. You didn't hear him correctly.
It's like Swiss chard.
Oh. All right.
I'm running out of material, Tony.
Let's be done.
All right.
Next week.
It's not coming as quick as it usually does.
All right.